Hi, Brad.
Hey, Ryan. How are you this morning?
Perfect. It's been a while, right?
It has. You don't like me anymore?
No, I love you. You know it. You know it.
Oh.
it's just playing around with new technologies until we find one that really works. And I think I really feel good about this one. I didn't feel so good about the last one, but this one I really feel good about. So I'm calling you about the big question.
Ooh, that one.
Yeah, it's a big question. Well, actually, surprisingly enough, I didn't find it that big of a question. I liked your points 1, 2, 3, and 4, but as to the question itself, I thought, well, it's one of those rhetorical questions. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, of course it is. But there's another way of looking at it. It's called different point of view.
Okay. But that's your catch-all for everything.
Come that. I have to admit, it's been such a freeing thing for me that, it's been such a freeing thing for me that I want to share it every chance I get with everybody I can, because it gets me free, and I've got to believe it gets other people who are of my ilk, meaning opinionated buzzards like me, who get all embroiled and caught up in when they hear something that triggers them, they want to argue. And I'm probably worse than most at that, but it's freed me from it. I don't need to argue. It's just, interesting point of view. And I don't always say it, but I'm always thinking of it, and it triggers immediately in me, whoops, spirit, take over here, because I don't want this crazy, screwed-up mind interfering with what you have for everybody involved. And Spirit's way is love and understanding and listening and caring for one another. And when I get caught up in my opinions or my perspectives, I'm not always caring and loving. And my commitment is to be controlled by Spirit, which is loving and understanding and caring and listening.
Yeah, there. Listening. So I wonder if it would work with not necessarily opinionated, but I have this similar thing about argumentative behavior, and it's a need to be right sometimes. You know what I mean? We're driving down the street and we see a logo on the car, and I say, oh, that's a such and such car, and my wife will go, no, it's a blah blah blah, and rather than just going, oh, is it, I need to prove my point.
I wonder if
I can use the same tool in that instance, because I can tell you, yesterday she said, boy, are you being argumentative today? That's the third time. What? Oops. I'm doing what?
Well, I have to tell you that my distaff side has recognized and said how much easier I am to get along with lately. So it is working for me, and you know her. You've known her for almost as many years as I've known her, 17 years or so, and she has her opinions, and I've committed to allowing her to, as if I could stop her, to state her opinions. And they're her, and it's who she is, so now that I'm getting more free with not having to argue with everything she says. And I was just identifying with you. It has really improved our relationship. So that's a little testimonial for interesting point of view.
Well, perhaps I need to take that to heart. I want to ask you a little bit more about your article, though. just past the big question, you talk about we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities of darkness. And then you kind of jump from that into a dialogue about how the Bible has been obfuscated with arguments and truths and myths and half-truths. But I don't really feel that you really brought out that point number five very well. What exactly are you trying to say there? Could you enhance that for me?
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is that, and you know this well because we've both been involved in it, there are entities that seem to be superhuman, that aren't benevolent, that and for those who want to thump the Bible on my head all the time, I'm just pointing out that, hey, you know, there's ample evidence in the Bible for it, if that's what you're going to use as your source. So, you know, it's one of those internal arguments that do get me inflamed sometimes when somebody says, well, you know, the Bible is my source. Well, that's where I got it to begin with. And I think what the article's about. So,
how does that fit into your big question? Because you answer your question with the redundant statement, you know, if it's God's will, why on earth go to a doctor to get whatever it is fixed? But then you introduce a new layer over top of that in regards to spiritual entities. And, you know, obviously I would never debate you on that sort of an instance because I would be debating myself. But my point is what's that extra layer all about? What are you trying to say in regards to your big question?
Well, what don't you think I've made clear?
Well,
seriously, I don't...
So if I answer your big question, and let's say I have a malady, and it's a cold, whatever, and I say, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor for this. I'm going to go to the source of all creation and get my answer there. When does it become an issue to wrestle with spiritual entities or whatever? What's the term you like to use? I like it. Agents? Spiritual agents? I forget.
Yeah, that was one of them, spirit agents, riding around on neutrinos when we did that book.
Sure.
So
what do they have to do if I've already gone to the source? Then why do I need to be concerned with those entities?
Well, you don't unless you do. Now, I'm not trying to be oblique here, or you know, I'm not trying to be double-tongued, but you know, if you don't see the need, then don't.
Okay.
And I don't know how else I can say it. I don't want to convince anybody like that's listening in today, for example. I don't want to convince anybody of the existence of these things. Jesus clearly talked about them, and as I think I pointed out in that article, maybe I didn't, I don't know, but I know I did in the most recent book you're about to publish. I know I got into it pretty heavily that all the major, the Quran and the Vedic scriptures and the Bible all talk about spiritual warfare. They talk about this stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see and largely is discounted by almost, you know, all of the cultures that aren't religiously based. And one of the reasons I've used the example several times of the doctor, the with an MD after her name, she wasn't religious. She didn't even believe in God, she said. Or she says, I just barely believe there might be a God, I think is how she put it. And so here, when she got to the end of her rope, and I was told by another physician that she was just probably one of the greatest diagnosticians, that he had ever met, and he was pretty well-traveled, and he was a specialist, and so that she believed in him. I've known others who believe that there's just something there that you can't explain. Well, you don't have to call it a spirit agent. I don't care. But they are getting back to the biblical resource, which the one writer said we wrestle against stuff that isn't flesh and blood. This isn't human. But principalities, rulers in places that we don't see, that we can't see with our eyes. And, what else can I say?
That's pretty clear. You know, one more thing I just want to touch on before I let you go is your statement that Christianity is nothing more than a modern form of Judaism.
Yeah, and, well, that that shocked me when I wrote it. But you know, the more I've reflected on it in the last couple of days, it is. It's the craziest thing. When you stop and take a look at it, if you're going to look at Christianity from the viewpoint of its most historic spokesman outside of if you want to call it Jesus, I don't think Jesus was a spokesman for Christianity. He was a spokesman for getting connected to our spiritual parent, our father, if you want to call it that, or our mother, father, or whatever. It's non-generic as far as I'm concerned. But it's the you know, people talk about the Apostle Paul, this, you know, who was responsible for writing much of the New Testament outside of the Gospels. I mean, he was Jewish to the core. And Jesus was Jewish.
And Peter and John.
Yeah, all of them. All of them were Jewish. So What are we talking about? We're talking about a Jewish, I mean, the first 3,000 Christians were Jews. You know, and give me a break. So when you stop and take a look at it, and then you see the Johnny-come-lately Jewish folks, Jews for Jesus, who are probably the biggest movement, but you have so many different Christians, and I get emailed daily, and that's not an overstatement, from people who practically insist that I call Jesus Yeshua. I don't care. That's okay. I know all the language derivatives, you know, Joshua and the rest of it. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's just like once in a while I'll slip into calling God God, just because people understand what you mean when you're saying God. Why should I call what most of the English-speaking world call Jesus and call him whatever you want to call him, Son of God or the Great Prophet or the Only Begotten Son of God or, you know, or God, if you're going to take the Roman Catholic view, it's Jesus. And I don't feel the need to call him Yeshua. Sorry. And why get into that's just more Judaism. And Judaism is fine. I love Jews. I respect Jews. I respect Muslims. I respect Hindus. I respect, you know, Zoroastrians. So it doesn't make any difference. We're all God's children. Sorry, evangelical Christians who want to exclude the rest of the world. But, you know, we are, and we're loved by God. and by whatever other name you want to use or declare. And I have a personal relationship today with the one that the Bible says is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is Jesus. So, sorry, I do, but I don't have to apologize to anybody. I've introduced many Muslims, many Hindus, and many Jews to that same Jesus. And I don't say they have to believe everything I believe. It's ridiculous. What we
they
believe
certainly
is,
don't have to change their fundamental religion either.
No. Good grief, no. But yeah. Anyway, in fact...
Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Pardon?
Thanks for clarifying that.
Well, yeah, I hope it was clear. But hey, remember this, though. It's only a point of view.
I'll keep that in mind. Well, thanks, Brad. I appreciate you taking my call today, and hopefully that this new technology will keep us going for more podcasts in the future.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me spout off, my brother. Love you.
Okay, buddy. Love you too.
Bye-bye.